Good morning. Good morning and welcome to our Friday morning chapel. I just want to make an announcement regarding Monday's chapel. Monday's chapel will not be held here in the sanctuary. It will be held out at the military monument, that being Veterans Day. So we're going to have a special chapel out on Monday morning, same time, 10 o'clock, out at the military monument across from the Sports and Fitness Center, kind of over by Edgewood. So just wanted to make sure you all knew about that and spread the word about that. Lord's blessings on our worship today. Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 20. Now when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen." Back in the 1940s, my grandfather, who was a pastor, was riding on a train between Chicago and Minneapolis, and he was with three other pastors. They were sitting in a dining car and sitting and having lunch, and they noticed that a young man who was bussing tables across the aisle from them had kind of a peculiar shape to his face and looked a little bit like a comic figure that was popular at the time. And they just made some comments to each other at their table about how this man looked and so on. Their food came, and they bowed their heads and said their table prayer. And about 20 minutes later, this same young man came to their table, and he leaned in so that only the four of them could hear, and he said, "I want you to know how wonderful it is to see fellow Christians giving thanks to God for their food." And my grandpa said, "You could have stuck a knife in every one of our hearts." He said, "We felt so bad that we had kind of judged this man just based on his looks. And here he was, a fellow believer in Christ, who appreciated seeing fellow believers giving thanks to God." And he said it was kind of a lesson for him. Wouldn't it be amazing if, as we walk around in the world and go to stores and different things, if God had some way of actually allowing us to see who real believers are in Christ, who the real members of His holy Christian church are around us, maybe even neighbors, maybe people that we have no idea. What an interesting thing that would be. It'd be amazing if God gave us that sort of insight. But of course, as Jesus is saying here in our text, that's not the way the kingdom of God works. It doesn't come by observation. It doesn't come by being able to identify and see exactly who the real believers are. The Pharisees who come to Jesus and ask him these questions in this day, they were looking for a visible, tangible way of telling when the kingdom of God would arrive. And they were waiting for a Messiah. Many of them probably thought he was going to be some great political hero or maybe a military hero. And as they're waiting for that, they're expecting some type of special, very obvious, observable example that the kingdom of God had arrived. And they come and talk to him then and say, give us some proof. We want to be able to see the kingdom of God. Jesus' own disciples fell into this thinking. Even the day as he was about to ascend into heaven, they said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still looking for something tangible, observable, that you could tell that God had now visited his people and so on. And we're probably no different. I know we can be tempted sometimes to think that we wish God would just show up somehow in some powerful way, some very visible, obvious way that you could point to it and say, see, that's proof that there's God. Wouldn't my faith be so much stronger if we could do that? If Jesus could just materialize right in front of us here right now, he can do it. He's the Son of God. We can tend to think that that's the way the kingdom of God should operate. It's challenging for us to live as Christians in an invisible kingdom. It's challenging to live in an invisible world of faith that ultimately has our citizenship in heaven because of what Christ has done for us. But that's ultimately very challenging. We want some pizzazz. We want some bling. We want something that's impressive that you can point to and that you can see. Why doesn't God just come down here and make it obvious to everybody? Give me some proof, God. There's kind of a streak inside of us that likes to think that same way. Well, our Lord Jesus corrects this misguided thinking. The kingdom of God does not come in that way. It's not evidenced by physical outward things. It's not evidenced by things that we can observe. And that can be sometimes frustrating for us. Many years before the arrival of Jesus, there was a prophet, Elijah, and in his day, an evil king and queen had put to death many of the other prophets, if you will, the preachers of God's word among the people. And Elijah felt like he was the only one left. And he ran out of the country to spare his life. He went up into a mountain and was hiding in a cave, and he prayed to God that God would just take his life, because his whole work in the ministry, he felt, had been for no gain. He couldn't see any evidence of it. And he says to God, I'm the only one left. And he just asked God that he would take him out of this life. And so God does an interesting thing in that story. He sends a violent wind, powerful, violent wind in front of him. He sends an earthquake, and then he sends a fire. But we're told God is not in any of those things. But then finally there's a still, small voice, a quiet little voice that comes to speak to Elijah and draws him out of the cave. And God says to him, I have reserved 7,000 back in the country. I have reserved 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. In other words, my church is still present. You can't see it, but there still are believers, and your work of preaching my word is still having an effect. When it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit, it works inside of us in a very hidden way. It goes down into our hearts. When the word of God is preached and teaches us about our sinfulness and our sinful human nature and causes us to repent and to be sorry for our sins, and then to latch on to the beautiful grace and forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus, who went to the cross for every one of you to pay for every sin you've ever done so that you are forgiven because of what Christ has done for you. When that activity takes place in our hearts, nobody can see it. It's hidden deep down inside. We can't even look in the room and see exactly where that's happening. But God says when that takes place, that's how the kingdom of God comes, in this invisible way. St. Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. When that word goes out, and God the Holy Spirit uses that to cause our hearts to latch on to Christ and to love him, that is this invisible kingdom. One of the very early church fathers used to use the illustration of what we're seeing around us now in nature, the dead trees. As the leaves fall off, the trees all look kind of dead. Some of them might actually be. Next spring, we'll find out which ones were dead and which ones were actually still alive, right? And he said that's kind of a picture of Judgment Day, that right now in this world, you can't see the living church of God. But on Judgment Day, it will be very evident where the real spiritual life has been growing. The true church of believers is hidden down in the hearts of those who love Christ. Martin Luther said sometimes the church is so hidden that even the believer himself or herself isn't even aware that they're part of the church. I remember, this was very personal for me when I was in seminary. I, as I often still do, struggle with various temptations and sins. And I used to wonder sometimes, because my faith was so weak, am I really a believer? Am I really a Christian? Is it possible that I'm fooling myself and I'm not really part of God's true church? And I ran across a quotation by Dr. Walther, and it says this: if you are concerned that you might not have faith, the desire for saving faith in Christ is faith. Only a believer wishes he or she had faith. That's a very comforting thing. The kingdom of God is within you, in the heart. It has this internal nature to it. But because of that internal nature of faith, we are also united with all of those around the world who may live in different kingdoms and in different principalities, and yet we are all united as one in Christ. A great story that demonstrates that is from World War I. On All Saints' Day, which we just celebrated last Friday, on All Saints' Day, during World War I, there were German and French soldiers pitted against each other, hiding down in foxholes. And they all decided, a bunch of them, to get up and to lay down their weapons and to go out and greet each other and to talk about their faith. The commanders were very upset with them for doing this, even though they were on other sides politically. But they were very upset with them for doing this, and some of them were executed for doing it. But that was the universal church, the Una Sancta, the one holy Christian church expressing itself when they came out to show their unity together in the faith in Christ. Some of those, this church is so hidden, God's true church is so hidden, that some of those don't look very big and great and heroic. Consider the ones who we know are in there from Scripture. An impoverished widow who drops a couple of small coins in an alms box. A penitent prostitute who wipes the feet of her Savior and washes his feet with her tears. A paralyzed man on a sleeping bag whose friends have to drop him in front of Jesus, and he's crushed by the guilt of his sin. A thief who's being executed, quietly saying some words to Jesus while he's dangling from a cross. A little child sitting on Jesus' lap. A smelly fisherman outside of the temple courtyard crying his eyes out because he has denied Christ. The kingdom of God is within you. It's often very hidden, but it's very alive, it's very well, and it will be there all the way until our Lord returns. Just imagine how surprised Pontius Pilate is going to be on Judgment Day to see this scrawny little man that he put to death having to be the very one that judges his soul for eternity. There will be some wonderful surprises for us through faith in Christ when we arrive in heaven someday. And I often wonder, who might you or I be sitting across from at the wonderful feast of salvation? Make sure you're there. Hold on to this Lord and Savior who loves you so much. Amen. I invite you to take out your hymn book and please turn to page 58 in the front part of the hymn book, page 58. And in the middle of that page, you will find a prayer. It's Roman numeral number 2. Let us join our hearts and voices in that together. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the head cornerstone. Grant that we may be joined together in unity of spirit by their doctrine, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable unto you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the triune God of your baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Go in his peace. Amen.